Our next guest knows a thing or two about winning streaks. For 4 years, he was the lead of the Furby Foursome, where they were, without a doubt, the best curling rink in the world. And he had six Brier championships in his career, numerous world championships. And today, it was announced in Beijing that Randy Furby is going into the Hall of Fame in curling. Joins us now. Randy, congratulations. How are you?
Hey, thanks, Jason. Nice to hear from you. I'm doing very, very, very well.
Well, I would think so. You're a Hall of Famer, my man. That's pretty good.
Sounds pretty good.
I noticed in the press, you said this caught you off guard. You hadn't heard any rumblings? You didn't think this was coming?
No, actually, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I didn't know too much about the World Curling Hall of Fame. I mean, there's a Canadian Curling Hall of Fame, and this one kind of snuck up on me. It's pretty tough to get into. I think there's only three or four Canadians that are even in the thing. So when I first heard about it last year, you know, I started looking into it. It's quite an honor to be with the people in that, and it's pretty tough to get into. So definitely pleased to get in there, no doubt.
And you're going in with a pretty good class. Hurleyman out of Switzerland, and then, of course, Ramschfell from Norway, guys that you battle against.
Absolutely. It's kind of funny that going in with those guys. Igel Aransel was the first guy that I played in the Worlds, or he beat us in the Worlds in 88 the first time I represented Canada. And then we beat Patrick Hurleyman for my first Worlds victory in 89. So it's kind of neat that going in with both skips that we played against and have some history against.
Randy, looking at the sport of curling right now, you know, it's going through a lot of changes. It went through a lot of changes when you were playing. Looking back on it now, how important was that guard rule change in your mind to make curling more entertaining?
Oh my God! You know, I don't know where curling would be without it, but now we're at the point where we do have the three rock rule, and they're thinking that that's not good enough because people are so defensive now, and they're learning how to play more defensive, getting rid of rocks. And again, we're almost at the same stage we were 20 years ago, where people are so good at defending, and we need to do something to make it a little more exciting, because I think it's going backwards again a little bit.
Is there a way, you know, it's funny you say that, because we were discussing that about hockey, that it's so easy to play defense rather than go for it, because you got to be a little bit of a risk taker. Maybe you can give up some, but you can also score. How do you have any ideas in mind, do you think, that would make curling so it's a little bit more offensive?
Well, I guess the only way is obviously by getting more rocks in play. Now, how you get more rocks in play, that's the question. Maybe you're not allowed to hit till the fifth rock of the end or something like that, or when the rock's not in the house, it's out of play, you're not allowed to hit that rock for an extra shot in the end. Maybe that they almost got to try something like that. And I know they did try it in a Bonspiel a couple of weeks ago, and it went over quite well. But then it takes away everything is – makes the game all to the center now instead of it, and it's kind of, you know, it's repetitious a little bit. So I'm not sure what the right way to do it, but I mean, these players are getting better and better every year, and it's pretty hard to change the rules and make it better.
Randy Furby joins us, announced today that he's going into the World Curling Hall of Fame. Randy, what are your thoughts right now on what's going on, with Canada for the men at the Brier?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. You know, personally, I don't like the rule of what they changed, but they did it. We got to deal with it. And you know, we're going through a change in curling here, where the top names, you know, Glenn Howard, Kevin Martin, are basically ready to step away from the game. Jeff Stoughton's the same way. And you know, we're putting together these super teams again. And I think again that's hurting curling a little bit. You know, there's players moving from every province to other provinces, and they're, you know, it's weakening the province that they're leaving, and they're making these super teams. So I don't think it's a real good thing in the long run, to be honest with you. You know, before we used to have 10 good teams or really super good teams, and now we're down to 3 because all these teams are combining to form better teams. So, you know, in the long run, I don't think it's going to help curling at all.
Now, the rule, do you like the fact that if you win the Brier, you could get a spot like the women have had for years?
You know what? I have to do it the hard way. I'm a traditionalist.
Okay.
I like going right back to what we have to do. You have to win the province. You have to, you know, you get out of your city, you win the province, and you have to earn your way there. So I'm not a fan of that. It changes the record books immensely, you know, down the road and whatnot. So I'm not a fan of it, but we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, you're right. You bring up a great point, because now in Alberta, like, just to get into Alberta to win that, you know, that would be huge every year. It's kind of like a playoff round.
Absolutely. You have to grind to get there. And, you know, I mean, there's been that debate, you know, should there be better teams at the Brier? Absolutely. But the Brier is a very special entity in itself. You know, you're representing your province, and it's unfortunate you might have played out of a very difficult province to get into. There's a lot of great teams that have never been to the Brier, but that's the history of the Brier. Now we're kind of changing that and tweaking that. So, like I said, we'll see what happens in a few years, see if it's worthy or not.
You've talked to a lot of the players who are active. What do they think?
Most don't like it, to be honest with you. Most don't like it, and for good reason. You know, most of the curlers, you know, they follow the sport. They're historians, and they're the same way I am. You know, they like the history and keeping that one aspect of the Brier. I mean, it's the biggest event in the country is the Brier, and they're tweaking it. And I don't think they have to tweak it, to be honest with you.
Randy Ferbey joins us. Randy, you look at the world curling game, right? Like from when you came in, you know, a long time ago, winning Briars and winning the world championships. Is the game globally that much more competitive in your mind?
Oh my God, yes, not even close. You know, when we first played, or my first Worlds was back in '88. And you know, there are some teams there that just, you know, that you just show up and you're going to beat these guys. But now the every country like Japan, China, Switzerland, they're all traveling. They got funding, they got coaches, and they're actually professionals. You know, they select a team or two teams to fund the whole year, and they're getting paid to do it. They're paid to curl 8 hours a day, and they're getting nothing but better, you know, than they ever were. So it's not going to be Canada's game like it used to be. I mean, we're going to be on top just because of the numbers and whatnot, but these teams are catching up in a hurry.
I noticed Marcel Rock, a guy that you know quite well, was working with the Chinese team at the Olympics and then at the World Championships and such. Have you had a chance to talk to him? What's been that country specifically? Because, man, you look at their dedication when it comes to a lot. It seems when they put their mind to a sport, they become a pretty big world power in it.
There is no doubt. I've talked to him about it, and he said that probably number one problem they have is they put too much time into it.
Okay.
And it, you know, like when we practice here, when we were building our team, you know, we'd practice an hour a day, you know, 5 days a week, but these guys are on the ice like 8 hours a day. It's curling, reviewing videos, you know, they're not allowed to do this, they have to do this, and he says if anything they're into it way too much, and they basically get burnt out. But again, that's their job. They're selected at a young age to become these athletes of curling, and they just grow them, and that's all they know in life is curling, and he's trying to stop that a little bit, he says. But the Chinese culture is that once you're involved in a sport or a job,
yeah,
that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to change that a little bit. And he's had a little bit of success, but at the same time, he's had a few roadblocks.
Randy, are you doing any coaching at all?
No, I'm not. I, you know, after I stepped away from the game, I promised my wife that I'd, you know, for 20 years I haven't been home in the winters for 6-7 months, and I said that I wouldn't go out and coach and spend more time with her, to be honest with you.
And does she like that, or is she sick of you yet?
Well, time will tell. I'll be honest with you. I do get the bug a little bit, but,
yeah,
you know, I don't miss the game as much as I thought I would. I still follow it immensely. I still got a lot of great friends out there, and, you know, I there's people that I'm pulling for and whatnot, and I keep track of all these changes and all these rumors and stuff, so it's kind of neat.
What did you think of how that story went down with the Kui rink just as they're heading to the World Championships, that they're basically, the rink's going to be splitting up right afterwards?
Well, you know what, someone talked to me about that, and be honest with you, I talked to a lot of players involved in that, and anytime you get three teams involved, like player, you know, Brent Lang from Glenn Howard and Hebert and Candy from Martin and Cooey's team, you know, there's 12 people involved in there, and there's, you know, they're going to tell their wives and they're going to tell their friends. Eventually that's going to get out. That's too,
yeah,
big of a secret to keep in there for a month and a half. So it's unfortunate it came out, but you know, I think it was in the works for quite a while, to be honest with you.
What do you see then, the remaining guys from those teams getting together and making more teams, or what?
Well, I don't know. It's interesting, you know, like you know, I talked to Brent Lang, you know, he's still a young guy, 32 years old, and he's playing with Glenn Howard, and you know, he said that was a hard decision to leave, but you know, all these teams are built for the Olympics 4 years down the road. That's their plan now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking at Glenn Howard's going to be 54, and he's like, boy, 54, you know, that's in 4 years. He's going to be able to play. And it was a tough decision. You know, Kevin Martin's going to be 52. Are these guys going to be at the top of their game to play at that time?
Yeah.
So these younger guys are making a move to put younger teams together that are going to be good in 4 years.
Randy Ferbey joins us, inducted into the World Curling Hall of Fame earlier. Randy, it's you. You said you're not a big fan of that. Do you think there's any way, like, could they have signed contracts with each so you can't have guys splitting up all the time? Or is there any way to stop this, amalgamations of the super teams?
Well, signed contracts, we're not professional athletes. We're not owned by owners, unfortunately. But, I guess the CCA could step in. And, I mean, the rules have been very, very lax, I guess, from people moving from province to province. There's a lot of players moving to Alberta that don't live in Alberta, but yet they're allowed to play here and vice versa, right across the country. So the Canadian Curling Association has got to get involved and make it for sure that they do live in that province and not have just a piece of paper that says, they got a mailing address or something like that. I guess if they up and make a move and they got a job here, they're working here, I get it. I get that if you're representing the province. But again, if you're going to play in the Olympics, there is no rules that stop you from playing with anybody you want to play.
Yeah.
It's two different factions, actually, playing the Brier and playing in the Olympics.
Yeah, and it seems that right now the the Olympics has become the big thing, of course. What is the actual rule, Randy, for you to represent Alberta? Do you just need a mailing address?
The actual rule is you have to be a resident of Alberta, now, which is very vague. People say, well, I got a mailing address, I own a business there, or, I got relatives there. So it's been very lax. And I really like to see them tighten that up, to be honest with you, because I know people have tried to get away with, anytime rules are involved, people are going to try to beat those rules a little bit. And I know the CCA, it's on their board, it's on their agenda right now to deal with it in the next, this summer, I believe they're going to be talking about that.
Do you get out and just have any fun curling bonspiels with your friends at all?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I actually play in the Friday night mixed league, and I'm playing in the Ice Makers bonspiel this week, and it's all fun. It's still competitive as hell. I hate missing shots and whatnot, but I don't get out and practice, but still competitive, and I love getting out and being around the people still a little bit, and it's a great sport. I'll probably play forever.
So, which part of your game is better, your curling or your briar patch?
The briar patch has slowed down, and it's currently slowed down too. They're both dwindling pretty quick.
Well, Randy, a huge congratulations. I know you're going to be inducted. Your whole family will be there in Halifax at the World Championships next year. Enjoy it. Well-deserved honor. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much, Jason. Much appreciated.